D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, joined as we are every Wednesday at 5 o'clock by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
What's up, guys? Good to be with you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. So we were just talking about Mike Sando's NFL quarterback tiers that he does every year at The Athletic. We were talking about it from the perspective of the AFC South, because Cam Ward is not on the tiers because he's a rookie, but we were looking at the other quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud tied for 9th, Trevor Lawrence 18th, we'll throw Daniel Jones in there, 30th. Most importantly, Anthony Richardson 32nd. The only quarterbacks better, the only quarterbacks that he is better than in these rankings, Anthony Richardson, Spencer Rattler, and Kenny Pickett. End of list. That's the those are the only two.
Wow.
So let's start here. One, do you think there is an opening for Cam Ward and the Titans to take advantage of the fact that other than C.J. Stroud, there are big question marks about the other starting quarterbacks in the AFC South? And two, there were some harsh words for Anthony Richardson from anonymous people that Mike Sando spoke to, including one, quote, "They are not ready to say they effed up," meaning the Colts, "but they are hedging." Another said, "The Anthony Richardson experiment is over." Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the locker room is going to tell us that. You know, the locker room told us that after he tapped out last year on that play. You know, it's you know, I would answer the tier question of quarterback, Adam, by asking another question of how would we rank the coaches in the division? Because there's plenty of storylines there too. All young coaches, unproven, and a group of guys who are either known for quarterbacks or known for, you know, playing for an organization, playing for defense, and a leader of men like D'Amico Ryan. So I you know, look at Brian Callahan, who's paired with the quarterback, Kaylee, who's the new OC in Houston. He's brought in, because, you know, the young OC, what was his name? Slowick, Bobby Slowick is no longer there, couldn't cut it. And, you know, we've the other two, we're talking about Jacksonville and Indy, they're tied to their quarterbacks as well. The way they phrased that, was it anonymous source or not? I'm not sure. Said like it's they're already trying to hedge their bets.
Yes.
Well, they can't just ditch Anthony Richardson because they went all in. They stood on the table for him like 2 months before the draft. The Colts put out a video where, you know, they're talking about like, man, this guy's just special. They're rewinding all the tape and it was dated like January. So like they can't just ditch now and act like everything's fine, because they've been in survivor mode, especially up in the front office, for the last 3 or 4 years. And now with a new ownership stake there, who knows what the viewpoint might be. I know the patients probably can't get better because it's been great for them so far.
Now, Hutt, when you're looking at that, because it's been 3 years for Richardson. And it's gotten to a point where he's either been injured or he just hasn't performed. I understand you went all in for him, but we've seen – you know, teams go in all in on a quarterback, and after 2-3 years, they're like, we need to go into another direction. I feel that's what Indianapolis is sort of doing with Richardson. They didn't bring Daniel Jones there just to have him as a comfortable backup. They brought him in to push him and ultimately find out if he's going to be their starter or not. And it looks like, even before he got injured, it looks like he's still not their starter. So I'm not sure if they will stick with him after this season. Now, he may still be on the roster, bringing in another quarterback, I can't see that not happening.
Man, I mean, think about the pressure on the coaches too, Mace, just to get it done in Indy and Tennessee.
Yeah.
With their QB, you know, like if they're going to prove it in Indianapolis, the way to do it is through Anthony Richardson. And, you know, some people were saying in that draft, man, he needs 2 years of some time on the bench, you know, like 2 redshirt years before he's really going to be the guy that everyone thinks he's developed into. He barely played a lot of football Like he didn't have many starts, period, in high school, college combined. That, you know, it's the opposite of Cam Ward, of how many times you can actually turn on film and watch him play and progress. So, you know, they're just now starting to see that. And then it was derailed anyway by the injury with the shoulder and, you know, going through what they did last year where it just, you know, he's admitting in postgame, they were just tired. Like it just, that cannot happen for a team that's trying to build an identity through the guy. So, you know, it comes down to the coach, whether or not he has trust, because he benched him last year. They bring in Daniel Jones, who's, you know, I mean, it's not like you don't placate to a guy like Anthony Richardson right now. That's a kick in the ass for him. You know, like it's a different competition this year than it was last year in that quarterback room. You know, when you mentioned it, and I agree that you signed Daniel Jones. It's a true quarterback competition. So the fact that we haven't heard glowing reviews, that's not a great sign. And it's certainly not a good sign when Richardson's getting, you know, can't get rid of the ball and his pinkies look pointing the opposite direction. I mean, we're sitting here talking about him. He's going to be injured at some point pretty soon anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's just how he is.
Yeah, eventually, I mean, outside of the hand injury he has, you just know that if he comes back, he will end up getting hurt again.
That's his game, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's why you want a guy like that. I mean, he's built like Cam Newton, mm-hmm. but he plays like Baker Mayfield, going shoulder first into people.
Yeah, he's going to have to learn if he ever does to play this position the way it needs to be played. And maybe he's so far behind that, you know, he doesn't even have a chance to catch up, at least not to be a starting quarterback. Let's say that. Let's get on the Titans. Yesterday's practice was not good, and it was echoed, you know, across these airwaves. Today's practice was a lot better. Is that what you, when you heard about yesterday's practice, were you expecting for the Titans to come out and have a better practice today?
I mean, yes, but I mean, honestly, Mace, with the way it was described listening yesterday, it couldn't get much worse. You know what I mean? Like, I was listening to various people that were attending practice. You know, they can only send out 90 seconds of video or audio or whatever it is, but they can speak on it. And, the question was like, is there anything that that comes to mind? I think it was Nick Suss maybe this morning on the show on with Robbie and Rex Road. Just like, is there anything that comes to mind that's positive? You know, it's like the offensive line, but we really don't know in certain situations what would be a pressure, what wouldn't. When it's down to that, I mean, I commend the offensive line for, you know, not being a storyline. But offensively, defensively, whatever, when there's not really anything to point to that's like a shining moment of practice, that's pretty bad. Especially for a younger team that, you know, I just don't. They're either going to get behind the messaging of the coach and the culture that they're trying to build. They went away from the facility and didn't come back to Nashville, not because they felt it would be taxing. I think they wanted to get away as like a team building element to this. That's been the vibe all off season from Callahan. Whether or not you agree with how he's gone about it or not, That is an aspect of what he's doing. And I think that they're either going to buy in and solidify and gel more behind their quarterback and behind their coach, or they're just kind of going through the motions. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You pointed it out in the first practice that you saw with the energy level, just the, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't like loafing or, you know, just kind of cutting up and not trying. But it didn't feel like day one of camp. I think that's the way you described it. Mm-hmm. And then I went out there and we're standing next to each other. I'm like, man, I know what you mean now. And it's more about the trend of that to me, Mace, than it is one bad, awful practice where, I expect those to happen for a bad football team with a rookie quarterback and subpar NFL depth, like across the board. We saw that last weekend. There's a long way to go here. But you can still rally the troops, so to speak. And, you know, we've already got Jeffrey Simmons and Calvin Ridley chirping that they had a good day at practice. I mean, it's It's August. Yeah. Here we go.
Now, which one? Because coming out of this first preseason game, I can say two things were evident in that at least we talked about on this show, and I think other shows on this station talked about it too somewhat. The offensive line, they play really well. In particular, Peter Skoronski.
Yes.
He looks like a different guy. But on the flip side of that, the secondary played awful. So which one you think is true to form? Is it the offensive line and the way they are playing now, or the secondary and the way they're playing?
Well, I think the secondary, because playing true to form, I think it's the secondary, Mace, because the O-line right now to me is just meeting expectations that were there that they haven't met. There's a lot of high draft picks on that line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money on that line. So they're meeting the bar. That's the way I view it right now. This is what it's supposed to be, where if they're just adequate or average, they're not a storyline. You can't tell that they're going to be a bad unit in reps that don't really get after the quarterback. We could see that over the last couple of years, especially at the tackle position. Now, the secondary, this front office, variations of different people that make up this example, were starting to build this team through the secondary. They spent money on Awuzie and Snead, and those dudes aren't there now a year later. So now you're piecing things together already on that end of it. They don't have a pass rush, and it puts more pressure on the back end of your defense, where in theory you could develop some young talent, get after the quarterback in multiple ways, the way that Denard Wilson wants to run that defense, but you can't do it when you're running out players that would be the second or third corner, not the first and second corner. Does that make sense? Because the guys that they brought in initially, that was the solution for how they're going to defend on the edge and the perimeter, and then get after the quarterback with the group that they have. That to me has really answered the question that you posed, is that's more true to form, because Legarius Sneed's not out there.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton, and Hutt, your thoughts on the demeanor of Cam Ward, because he's clearly had ups and downs, and this was a big line of questioning today, not only to him but to the coach before the practice started, Brian Callahan. And Callahan has stressed that by design they're trying to make it tough on him, and that he does keep an even keel. He likes how he's handling the adversity. I kind of like what I'm hearing from Ward talking through these things, but tell me your impressions as he's at the podium going through this.
Man, I think that he's just he's born and bred to do this. You know, you can tell that he's had to work for things throughout his upbringing. Clearly, parents that raised him well. You can just tell. You know, you get that vibe through a personality. I'll also say, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if someone, you know, told him, you can pick up the leadership role now if you want to, because, you know, it's yours. You know, we'll address the team if you need to. You know, he's done that in the past, but you know, he's getting after kind of rallying the troops, so to speak, down in Atlanta. We were bound to see this. I'm not saying it's sooner rather than when I thought it would be Willie, but I love he's bought in. Like, he was bought in during the draft process the same way the Titans were bought in with him. The question would be, can he bring players along and elevate their play as he's clearly going to do himself? And the pressure situations, I would hope that every coach would do that with their young quarterback. This is the time to do that, right? Make your mistakes, correct them, and then see if the rookie makes the same mistake twice. He doesn't seem to do that very often, but you know, we're not in those meeting rooms. We're not in the planning sessions. What we do see is exactly what you're pointing out, and rave reviews for me on that. I have nothing but props to give him on everything I've heard since the moment he was drafted.
Now, he did say something today that was a little Diego Pavia-esque, and we're going to hit this in our next segment.
Okay.
Because he said, I think we're going to have a top 10 offense, and something to the effect of, I love my wide receivers. They're one of the best in the league, which is we'll get the reaction that Diego Pavia gets when he told Paul Feinbaum that our goal is to win the national championship, right? There's just a lot of eyebrows raised. So what did you think of that?
I mean, I raised an eyebrow to it.
But I did as well. I raised two.
But at the same time, it's exactly, if I'm a fan of any team, it's exactly what I want my quarterback to say. Even though no one's truly buying it. Like, we know what they're trying to build and what they have and don't really have right now. It's Pavia saying they're going to win the national title. You know, like, people are pulling for him to do that. Vanderbilt needs a quarterback to say that and have that moxie and the bravado that he brings. Cam Ward is the guy that everyone's looking to provide the culture and energy and identity for this franchise. So if he's not going to say it, there's no one that's going to step to the podium and say anything and speak it into existence. I'm okay with that, even though I'm raising eyebrows going, okay, man, like, whatever. Because it's something that I know he wants to reach and obtain, but it's not something that anyone would dare bring up right now. He may feel that way about Calvin Ridley's relationship with Ridley, and that's about as far as it goes, as far as tops in the league on how well the communication is going.
All right, so here's one thing I just jotted down as you guys were talking about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because take Cam Ward out of it, but this is all in the context of what is Cam Ward going to be and the weight that he's carrying as the first pick in the draft. I just looked at the list. Since 2021, there have been 9 quarterbacks, not including Cam Ward, so 10 including Ward, that were used as one of the first 4 picks in the draft. Here they are. You've got 2 that I would say are check marks. Yes, this is working. Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud. Then you've got Trevor Lawrence that I think is in his own category of he's good, but he's certainly underwhelmed. Fair to say?
Yeah.
That's a check, but not a. He's just not much there. You're hoping for more. Then you've got, in my opinion, 3 major question marks. Caleb Williams, major question marks right now, right?
Yes. Yeah. And
Bryce Young, major question marks right now.
Yes.
Obviously, Anthony Richardson, major question marks and almost in the X category of moving on. And then 2 that teams have moved on, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, right? So that batting average of the outcomes of the top 4 picks, you look at that and you say, what will Cam Ward be? When you're the first pick in the draft, the expectation's so high, but you can see where all this can go. So the roll of the dice of using a top pick on a quarterback, it just is not as a slam dunk as you would think and hope it's going to be.
Because the coaches don't last. Of this list, Willie, how many of those quarterbacks are on a different coach already?
Oh, Caleb almost Williams, so many. The majority of them, right?
And is Cam Ward headed on that path?
Well, that's a big question.
So if we know this team is not good,
Williams, Caleb Williams, Trevor already, Lawrence for sure.
Yes.
Bryce Young, that's 3. Yep. Zach Wilson had, Wilson was Zach Wilson. Trey Lance, I imagine, had different coaches. He never got it done anywhere. I left out Drake May, who is, I would say, still in the question mark, but looks good. Right,
and on another coach,
on a second coach.
Yeah, so like you're in a position where you're in the NFL, you're welcome to the NFL moment, your rookie season, where everything they're trying to confuse you, like Callahan's doing right now with Ward, and then all of a sudden, new leadership comes in. So then the culture changes, the message is different. It's just a different vibe that I think is more of a shock to the system. And it does, halt your development some. That does play a factor. And if we're sitting here saying that the team's not going to be good, and this is a development year, they're another draft and free agency period away, like, let's clip everything that's being said in the month of August And remember what we're saying in December when Amy Adams Strunk fires Brian Callahan, because he can't do the three wins and everything's going to be fine. Like, he has to show that he can, he and his staff develop this roster that's not very good. That is huge for the success rate of the rookie quarterback that everyone's pretty sure has the factors and the makeup of what can be successful. I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be a good quarterback. Can he be great? I don't think necessarily that's the path that a great quarterback goes on, changing coaches right out of the gate when you're firing the coach that's known for developing QBs. I'm not saying I'm on board with everything Callahan's doing, but for the success of Cam Ward, I think it is crucial that we see this coaching staff click the way that we want to see Cam Ward click with the staff. It's not just on Ward. It's also on the coaches to prove that they're the right crew for the job. If not, we know the owner doesn't have much patience. This isn't Indianapolis.
Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D. Mace Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I'll be listening to the next segment. I'm curious what you guys have to say about it.
What a teaser that is. Thank you, Hutton.
Yeah, later, guys.
615-737-1025. Okay, Willie mentioned it in a question to Hutton. We're going to talk about it next. Cam Ward said something this morning that has caused quite a stir, at least on social media, which, shocker, right? We will discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Well, I think we honestly have the ability to be a top-10 offense. But also it goes on every guy in that huddle, including myself, bringing the right mindset every day. And us also playing together, I think that's the biggest thing, is that we always play together. We never point fingers at each other on both sides of the ball. And we just got to always have that mindset that we can be the best offense in the NFL. And then it really just comes with just us caring about each other on the field, off the field. And I think a lot of that stuff will translate to the game. Just the playmakers that I have in the backfield with me, the running back core, then especially in the receiving core. I think I also have a top five receiver core in the NFL, including the young guys who are able to make plays. It's really all about just us or myself putting the ball in their frame of work, letting them make a play. And then it's also those guys being aggressive to make plays for the team. And then the O-line, I don't have to worry about them. That's going to always be the standpoint. Those guys, they bring the energy every day, especially starting with JC. So I'm excited to be behind those guys. Those guys pass protection. They keep me clean, really, I would say, 8 times out of 10. I know I'm going to take a bad sack this year. They're going to give up a sack this year, but we just got to continue to play, good, clean football.
That was Cam Ward this morning. The Titans have the ability to be a top 10 offense in the NFL. I believe he also said that his wide receiver core is a top 5 receiving core, or can be, or will be. I didn't hear that exactly.
Let's just say he showed a lot of confidence.
Yes,
he sure did. He sure did. And when I read that, because I wasn't listening to his news conference live. So I read that. Then I sought out the audio. And I thought to myself, Cam, no! Because we all know that what he is saying, let's be honest, is impossible. The Titans do not have the talent to achieve what Cam Ward thinks they can achieve on offense this coming season. He said he is trying to speak it into existence, which is admirable. And I don't want to label Ward as delusional, because that would be too harsh. But I'll be honest, guys, I cringed a little when I heard it. At the same time, I wondered if I was being hypocritical, because I have commended Diego Pavia for his self-confidence. So where do you both stand on this?
I think it's good to have confidence in what you're doing. If you don't, then why are you doing it? We had this conversation about Cam Ward, some weeks back when he made this, he was confident that he could play in this game. And the hoopla was, well, why do you feel that way? You haven't played in any game. And my explanation was, hey, listen, when you've prepared as much as he believes he has, the games become just sort of a stamp. That's all a game is. It's just to show you what I've been doing. I'm confident in what I could do out there on the field. Why? Because I practiced it. I've gotten familiar with what we're doing. I'm confident in what I'm doing as a quarterback. So I've got myself prepared for this situation. So when it does happen, I'm not nervous. I believe in my preparation. That's what we always talk about. With any elite quarterback, do you believe in the preparation? Do you believe in the hard work that you put in throughout the week? If you do, then you go out there with confidence. If you have a shaky practice or a shaky week, you're going to go into the game feeling like, ooh, we're going to have to pick this up. Like, we ain't have a good week. Cam Ward is coming from a space of, the first time he said it was, I'm doing the work. I'm getting better. I know I am. I'm picking up things quickly in the playbook. So I'm doing all the things that the coaches are asking me to do. So once I get out there on the field, I'm prepared for this. I should be good. I'm going to be good. That's his belief. It needs to be his belief. Because what that does is as Diego Pavia has done, we asked Michaela when she was on about
Michaela Banks.
Yeah, yeah. About the energy and what Diego is doing.
And was that contagious?
Exactly. And she said yes. Vehemently, yes, it is. That's our Cam is.
So don't you think him. That's the question? Is for a rookie to say it in the NFL, is that different than Diego Pavia saying it to college? But
I don't think it is.
I tend to agree that if he really comes across to his teammates as a guy that really does believe, like, how does a veteran take that? Like, do you say, "What, this rookie doesn't know anything," or do they say, "Hey, look, if he's dumb enough to believe it, I'm right behind him." Like, how does that resonate?
It resonates well with players. It does. That's the guy underneath center. You want that guy to have that attitude. You do. Now, he's going to have to start playing up to that, you know, that sort of attitude. He has to play up to it.
He's got to back it up.
Yeah, he has to back it up. But I want a quarterback, especially one that you sit back and you watch and you say, man, this kid, he has the tools. He can be a good quarterback in this league. And then you see that you see his preparation, because you're there with him. And in your mind, you're like, the skill set is there. He prepares like no other. What am I supposed to think as a player? We going out here and we about to do some big things. Now, okay. It can be different once you get on the field, but to have that confidence means I prepare well enough or more than well enough that I believe that once I get out there, we're going to have a good day.
Here's where, I mean, I love the belief. Mm-hmm. Can he convey that to his team without feeling the need to go public with something that is going to be cropped, like Adam said, like we all read it before we heard him say it. When you hear him say it, it's a little bit more normal.
It's digestible when you hear him say it.
Yes, it doesn't sound as brash when he said it. But when you see it in a print, I think there's probably some outsiders that probably laughed and said, what's he thinking? Like, it's impossible. There's no way. Just like they do with Pavia. But at the same time, he says it with conviction. And he's like, what do you mean? This is what I believe. But so what's the right answer? Like, is he better off keeping that belief internal? Or do you like that he put himself out there in the media when he knows everybody's going to read that?
Let's go to Clay on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Clay, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
If I could, I wanted to – y'all are talking about, you know, Cam Ward and then also about Diego. So I wanted to ask my man D. Mace, you know, about his comments about, you know, how he thinks Cam is, you know, progressing as far as his development and learning the system and things like that. And then if Willie would comment about how he feels about some of the things that Diego has said, not so much behind closed doors, but in front of the media.
Right. That's the question. Yeah. Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. I don't think Diego has said anything behind closed doors. Everything has been public, what he says about.
I think he wears it on his sleeve. He says everything.
And, of course, the difference between Cam Ward and Diego Pavia in this instance is that Pavia, at his level of football, has proven himself. Mm-hmm. We know about the upset of Alabama. He engineered other upsets before arriving at Vanderbilt. So he has the proverbial figurative skins on the wall, right? Now, I remember when Diego Pavia, because we played it last week, went on Paul Feinbaum and said, our standard is winning the national championship. And it stopped Paul Feinbaum in his tracks for a second. He's like, I just want to make sure that's what you said, right?
Right. So what he's experiencing now, and there was just a recent one, somebody else's podcast, he was asked about Auburn. Do you think that you've earned Auburn's respect? And he said, no, I don't think so. So now he's going to start getting questions, looking for the next Diego Pavia answer by the interviewer. Every interviewer of him is going to say, let me see what I can get him to say now, like on my show, right? And so that becomes a thing. I wonder if he is aware of that because he's doubling and tripling down on it. And after a while, I think it becomes a little bit, you get away from why you do it at the beginning to try to instill belief in your team. There becomes a point where, like, you know how your team perceives you. Mm-hmm. You know how you're being. There's no reason really to make more noise at some point, I think. And I'm curious about how Ward takes that. Because if you say enough crazy things, mm-hmm. you're going to become known as the crazy guy.
Crazy Eddie.
Yeah.
This is what I believe. This is what happens with rookie quarterbacks. Not all of them, but I think some of them, because they are majority of them are A type individuals, alpha type individuals, and if they believe it, then they are going to say it. But what I have found in this game, the older you get, you say it in different ways. I can listen to Peyton Manning talk about his offense and what he expected from his offense back in the day. I understand Peyton is Peyton and he's a Hall of Famer. I get that. But if he's going out there and he's preparing, I guarantee you when they asked him that question, he might have been more polished than a lot of other quarterbacks coming out. But I guarantee you, I would almost bet just about a lot of things that his answers to questions his first year were different than they were in his third or fourth year. Why? Because he didn't know what he didn't know, but now he knows it after two or three years. So now he may come at you, you may come at him with the same question, and he may sort of give you the same answer, but in a different way. It's not so in your face. It's not so brass. But it is telling you, hey, I believe our offense is the best in the NFL. I believe my receiving corps. He had one of the best receiving corps in the National Football League and the best offense in the National Football League. But even with that, he said that in so many ways. He didn't flat out come out and say we got the best, but he said it in different ways. Why? Because he learned how to play the media game. He's learned how to play. Not to say he was no more confident than Cam, because I guarantee you his confidence dwarfs Cam's. But when you're a young player, sometimes, especially when you walk into a situation like this, you want to be that guy that sort of sets the standard and you're not afraid of it. You know, some guys wouldn't even say some of the things that Cam has said is about the offense and the receiving corps. Why? Because they're scared. They're scared of failure. They don't want to look like as if they fail. Here we go again. Another quarterback talking. He's going to fail. Cam's not scared of that. I'm glad. I'm happy. It's good to see that he's not scared to fail. You know who's like that? Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's the same way. He's not scared to fail. He's going to tell you how he feels. He's not scared to fail. That guy we got underneath center, I don't know how his career is going to go, but I guarantee you one thing, he's not scared to fail.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. How do you feel about Cam Ward saying that the Titans have the ability to be a top 10 offense and a top 5 receiving core? Do you like that display of confidence from the young quarterback, or do you wish he would tone it down? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction and wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game, wrapping up the show. After you're done listening to us, Taylor Swift on the New Heights podcast with Jason and Travis Kelce. I was telling the two of you during the break, the phrase break the internet is overused. That podcast is literally, not literally, it's going to come the closest to breaking the internet that the internet has ever been broken.
If you get home and find that the internet is broken, you will know why.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked.
Like, Richard Deitch wasn't joking when he was making the Taylor Swift comments.
I would not be shocked if that is the most downloaded podcast in the history of podcasts. That specific episode.
I'm sure.
Not a coincidence. YouTube's going to slow down. If, like, just because they're going to start at 7, like, YouTube's going to just be slow starting up.
Perhaps.
That is very possible. It's not a coincidence that the Predators on their Twitter and Instagram put out the Taylor Swift wearing the Navy Predators jersey that everybody loves so much, the throwback jersey, when she famously came to some Predators games back in the day. That's why.
So the Predators put her up?
Just on their account, just knowing that this was coming, right?
Yes.
So can you watch it on the Predators?
Oh, no. You got to go to
only
to the
on
Kelsey
YouTube part. And New Heights podcast.
So they're giving her a little pup.
And as Taylor Swift said in one of the teasers, we all know that if there's one thing that male sports fans want to see in their spaces and on their screens, it's more of her. I'm sure people will love that. But let's go to Mike on her phone line.
Can I get one quick 10-second shout out?
Or I'm going to time you.
Okay, 10 seconds. Milwaukee Brewers. Sounds, of course. They feed the Brewers. There are a lot of former Sounds on that team. The Brewers have won 12 straight games. They are 6 games better than any team in Major League Baseball. 6 games better. And they have the 20th highest payroll in Major League Baseball. It is unreal
they're
what
doing
they're
it
doing
on
right
cheap.
Now.
They're it's, doing it on cheap.
You owe me a few seconds. That was longer than 10 seconds. Let's go to Mike on our phone
I'll get
line.
You back.
Driven by
back.
WilsonCountyHunter.com. Talking Cam Ward's comments about the Titans offense. Mike, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Yep, I'd just like to say that I'm kind of really confident that Cam Ward looks like that if he takes control of his team in the locker house, because he's a first-year rookie, and if he starts leading as a rookie, then we're not going to go to the Super Bowl this year. Let's just forget that. But if next year, let's say we go 7-10, and then the next year we go 10-7 with Cam Ward, now we've got a team, and now we've got a new stadium coming, a roofed stadium that's going to have a Super Bowl someday. What I'm seeing is that I think if Cam Ward is driven right by the right people, take control of the locker room, act like a fourth-year, fifth-year veteran, even though he's a rookie. And if he does that and he just calms down, he's being pulled apart by millions of dollars and contracts and people that want everything. If he can just say, you know what, guys, give me a season of, say, 7-10 this year, and then next year we go 10-7, we got a quarterback.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Here is some other reaction to our question. One texter says, of course I love it. He qualified it enough. But what else is he supposed to say? Outside of Ridley, these receivers sucked. We're doomed? That wouldn't exactly inspire confidence from his teammates. He's got to get these guys playing for him so they won't second guess going across the middle for him, which in the NFL is pretty much running through a wall for a guy. Craig on our text line says, produce, then talk. So two separate opinions there.
Well, I get it. Produce and then talk. I understand that, you know, that standpoint. And I understand the other. You know, he's going to – the unfortunate part about the situation that Cam's in is that he's going to have to learn how to become a leader a lot quicker than probably what should happen. Because they don't have enough veteran guys with skins on the walls that have on the wall that have been through things that can speak on the culture there. The guys that are there, they can't speak on a culture that hasn't been there the last 2 or 3 years. So if Cam, you know, if he is going to take that step, which I think he has the ability to, but it's going to be hard if he has to be the lone guy, if he has to be that guy in his rookie year. He has to be the leader. Not saying that it can't happen, but I think when you're asking a young guy like that to be the leader, not one of the leaders right now, not Find your space within the team and then lead accordingly. No, you're not asking him to do that. You're asking him to be the guy. Why? Because you don't have that guy on your offense. Not even Ridley. Because, I mean, he's been here, it's going on 2 years. He's still trying to figure things out himself as far as the culture of the organization or the history of the organization. All these guys are trying to figure it out themselves. And you got a bunch of new ones. So to me, if Cam has to do that alone, not to say he can't, but if he has to do it, I think it's going to be hard for him. That's why they're gonna need guys like Zeitler, Cushenberry, and Calvin Ridley. Those guys are gonna have to be the voice. And while they're the voice, Cam has to go out there and produce because he's confident, but what players want to see is, I love your confidence, keep it up, but you got to go on the field and produce. And the minute you start producing, everybody else will follow behind you. They will. They will follow you. They will run through a brick wall for you. If the talent matches what you put out there on the field or the field matches your talent, guys are going to follow you. And you're not going to need as much Cushenberry and Zeitler and Ridley to be the voice or the leaders. It's going to happen for Cam, but you know he's not in an ideal situation. Let's just put it that way, because I always go back to my experiences. And my experience with a young quarterback named Joe Flacco was, the good part about that is Joe didn't have to walk in and be a day one leader. We had a bunch of them in that locker room. What Joe did was, throughout the season, he found ways to lead. You know, he figured things out. He found his footing. Then, after that year, he started to become more of a vocal leader. It was a transformation in a year. Why? Because they didn't put the pressure on him to be the sole leader of a team. I'm not sure if that's what the Titans are asking Cam Ward to do. I'm not there, but if they are, that's a lot to put on one guy's shoulder.
And Willie, I can't find the exact quote, but I do remember in one of the stories that Albert Breer wrote about the Titans' decision to draft Cam Ward for Sports Illustrated, Borgonzi had a quote about culture and one of the most important aspects of a number one overall pick is being a tone setter when it comes to culture. And that's one thing we heard a lot about Cam Ward specifically during his one season at Miami. So the Titans drafted Cam Ward in part because they felt that he could be the catalyst for change for culture in their organization.
And I think we've seen enough to say that you can feel what they were evaluating, right? When you hear some of these quotes. And I don't think it's getting the reaction from his teammates of, oh, this guy talks a good game, doesn't back it up. I think they see that he's going through ups and downs, and he is struggling. And I think they're aware of where they are in the football universe. They know they're not expected to do much. But I do think he's earning the respect of his teammates. And that is such an important thing, regardless of the one loss record. You know, the caller was saying 7-10 or something like that. I'm not as worried about that. I want to come out of the season with an identity and with, you know, ideally with Cam Ward entrenched now as the guy that is changing the culture.
I just want to see the leadership develop. I think the game would develop in him, but I want to see the leadership develop in him as well. And, I mean, it's going to be evident. You'll be able to see it if you're looking for it. But I want to see that part, because I think if that part grows, I think it's inevitable that his talent will then take over. I think that's going to take over. But as the season goes on, I want to see how his leadership, I'm going to really be paying attention to that, how his leadership sort of changed from week to week as the season moves on.
By the way, Willie, Tom in Nashville on your Brewers shout-out said, and part of the Brewers' winning streak was destroying the Mets.
I watched it. I watched all three. They threw the game-tying run out at the plate, in the first game, and then they walked him off. It came from 5-0 down in the third game. So, yeah, I didn't enjoy that very much. But I am always amazed. The Sounds are so lucky. I mean, I think Nashville baseball fans are lucky that the Brewers are an organization that really values player development. So you see these players come through every year, and the Brewers feast. They continue to restock their farm system as well as any organization. They have done a tremendous job, especially since they joined with Nashville.
And by the way, the Sounds are underway against the Durham Bulls on 94.9 The Fan. So if you're not listening to Taylor Swift break the internet on the New Heights podcast, you can listen to the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls.
And unfortunately, the Sounds have been stripped of a lot of their players, and they've gone downhill. They're a little bit of a slump right now. But
will y'all be listening? Will y'all be listening to Taylor Swift?
Taylor?
Yeah.
I know my wife is mega excited for it.
Okay, which means you're going to listen to it.
I will probably listen to it.
I'll be aware of some of the commentary.
Do I need to listen to it? Because if we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, are we going to be talking about
I don't want to be quizzed on it, I'm telling you right now.
I'm sure the juiciest tidbits will be aggregated, so you don't have to listen to the whole thing.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
I believe it goes live in 5 minutes. But yes, I contend that There are websites that track this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that this podcast, if there is a record for most downloads or listens in a 24-hour span, this episode is going to break that record. I guarantee it.
I wouldn't doubt it. I'm not sitting here saying I believe it will. There's no way that it will not. If everybody, I mean, her fan base is so enormous. I mean, it's pathetic. So if her fan base alone listened to it, it's going to break the internet. I don't know how many fans Travis and his brother has. I'm sure they have a lot.
It's an incredibly popular podcast.
I'm sure
podcast.
They have a lot, but her fan base alone will break it.
Well, we'll find out together if the internet is broken tomorrow.
So if I can't get on the internet, that means it's broken?
If you have a Wi-Fi outage at your home over the next hour or so, it's probably because of Taylor Swift.
So D-Mace and I, we'll bring our old school scrolls in as a backup. If the internet goes down, we'll have everything written down for the show on paper.
Yeah, you'll have the stones and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes.
We'll find out shortly, but that'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Titans don't practice tomorrow. They are back on the field on Friday in a preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons. But we will talk to you all tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Wednesday. Peace, and I love you.